Good morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life, which means, by the way, that the Bible tells us how to have a prosperous and successful life. It is the ultimate resource for living life. Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Joshua 1:8 says that if you meditate on the Bible and carefully put it into practice, you will be prosperous and successful. But this week I am talking about what is generally called the prosperity gospel, which I think is not a biblical prosperity gospel at all. I'm Pastor David Gennaro, by the way. Welcome to the program. So what I am doing this week is critiquing or pointing out what is wrong with what is commonly taught as the prosperity gospel by the popular television preachers today. And rather than just slamming it, my goal is to show you what the Bible teaches about how to truly have a prosperous and successful life. But first, we have to identify what's wrong with the popular version of the prosperity gospel. So yesterday, I read you a quote from the best-selling kind of definitive book on the prosperity gospel, and I talked about one of the four problems with it, which was that it teaches to pursue health, wealth, and comfort over glorifying God. There's really no mention of glorifying God or defining prosperity in terms of knowing God and being known by God, growing in your love for Him, becoming more like Him, loving others as He loves, loving because He first loved us, dying to self and living with God's glory, the first goal and aim of your life. That's what the Bible says is how to have peace and joy and an abundant, full, meaningful life. But the prosperity gospel says or offers instead health, wealth, and comfort. No big relationship problems and all those kinds of things. I think that's a problem. It's redefining how the Bible defines prosperity. Now, does following the Bible help with finances? I believe so. Does following the Bible help with health? I believe it can. I don't think it comes with these guarantees. I don't think it's all about the here and now. And that's what I want to focus on today. The second problem with the prosperity gospel is it focuses on the here and now rather than eternity. And so much of the prosperity gospel is about, as I read from the quote yesterday, seeing your business take off, seeing your marriage restored, seeing your dreams come to pass. And it's not from this perspective of God works all things together for the good, no matter what suffering we go through. One day we'll understand why God let us go through it, and it was for the greater good of God's glory, and because we love God, we are happy that God could use us to bring glory to Him, and we're satisfied in it, and we love God, and we delight in how He's used us through our pain and suffering. No, that's tossed aside, and the focus is all about you getting more money, better health, and your relationship problems going away now, today. And so reading another quote from, again, I don't want to get into names and everything, but this is, I believe, the definitive book, the most popular Christian book out there with this kind of teaching. And the author here writes, "Unfortunately, someday never comes." He talks about how we're always wanting things to get better someday. "But someday never comes. Today is the only day we have. We can't do anything about the past, and we don't know what the future holds, but we can live at our full potential right now." And so that's what this book is all about. It's about having health, wealth, your business taking off, your family prospering, your dreams coming to pass today, right now. Whereas the Bible talks about having much greater patience, talks about meditating on God's word, growing in your understanding of His teaching, day by day growing in your obedience to God's word, and trusting God that in the future, unanswered questions, trials and suffering you've endured, that it is all part of a great and wonderful plan that you will understand one day at one time. It's not about how can I get what I want from this world right now. And so I think that is also a very dangerous teaching. So that one I didn't need to spend much time on. That's the prosperity gospel focuses on the here and now rather than eternity. Let me right away begin to go into the third characteristic of the false prosperity gospel. It often substitutes means other than obedience to God's word to get results. It often substitutes means other than obedience to God's word to get results. So here's another quote from this book. Quote, if you want success, you're going to have to do more than meditate and believe. You must boldly declare words of faith and victory over yourself and your family. All right, so notice what he's promising. He's saying if you want to have success, you're going to have to do two things. You're going to have to meditate and believe, and then in addition to that, you're going to have to declare words of faith and victory. So I would agree with him about meditating, although he doesn't say meditate on God's word. I assume that's probably what he means, but he doesn't spell that out. But Joshua 1:8, I think, is the definitive verse in the Bible about how to be prosperous and successful. And it says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. So far, we're right in the same page. I think that is right. I think to be prosperous and successful, you need to meditate on God's word continually, day and night. But where this writer goes on to say, not only meditate, you must boldly declare words of faith and victory over yourself. That's not what Joshua 1:8 goes on to say. Joshua 1:8 says nothing about boldly declaring words of faith and victory. Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So as I'm reading this popular prosperity preacher say, here's how to have success, meditate, and I'm almost expecting, it's like he's starting off saying what God says in Joshua 1:8, meditate and what God says is carefully do everything written in his word. But what this preacher says is boldly declare words of faith and victory. And that is not what the Bible says is the pathway to success. So again, you have to make a choice. Even though this book and others are couched in Bible verses and religious language, they're presenting to you a different path to success than what the Bible teaches. And I believe what the Bible teaches is the ultimate resource for life, is the true path to success. And you know what? Speaking boldly, declaring words of faith and victory over yourself might be somewhat helpful. I'm not saying that it's going to, lead you to the path of failure. I think having a positive mindset can encourage you to try things maybe you wouldn't try, and it can be helpful. But it's not the best way. It's not the way to true success, and it may set you up for disappointment, again, because of the way these things are presented as a guarantee, as a promise. Do this, and this will happen. And again, when it's a promise, then it's like, well, if you're not getting financial increase, if you're not getting raises and promotions, if you're not seeing your dreams come to pass, you must be doing something wrong. You're not speaking enough words. You're not being bold enough in your words. You know, it's your fault that you're not getting these things, and that's not a biblical method. The Bible says that as you put God's teaching and principles into practice in your life, generally you will do better financially. Generally, you have better odds at having good health. But those things are not guaranteed. Sometimes God has something even better for us that we obtain through suffering. We have to keep our focus on how can I live like God wants me to live? Live the way God has designed me to live. Follow His teaching. He's the one who knows me. He intimately designed everything about me. And that's how I'm going to have peace and joy and a truly prosperous life. It's not all about what happens today. Because I could have a great day today and everything could collapse tomorrow. That's actually Jesus' point in the parable of the wise man and the foolish man who built his house on the sand and it all collapsed in a day. We'll pick up here tomorrow. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.